Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 91, part 2, How Do We Magnify the Lord? Today is Sunday, March 29th, 2009. Thank you for joining the podcast today. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Just a couple quick announcements before we get into Pastor Paul's message. First of all, you know that Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. And if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation on the homepage to support our urban mission operations. You can also join the online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to go there, join the online community. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Or if you want to leave a comment, go to the blog. You can also ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. And you would just go to the blog, go to the interactive link, click it on, and there you are. You're going to also find at the blog, you're going to find interactive links to scriptures that are within Pastor Paul's message. You'll also find other information about the mission as well as the original recording dates. Another quick announcement just about the change in the format. Pastor Paul's podcast is now going to be delivered in two parts. The same episode in two parts. Part one will be delivered on Friday evening. Part two will be delivered on Sunday morning. It'll make for a shorter download file as well as shorter listening time. So I think it's going to work out really well. If you have any comments, you can make those comments at the blog. Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you and have a great week.
So let's go beyond all of this now. Christ is the total atonement. Total. They have a breakfast food called total. Total what? Huh? Total bran flakes. It's not total. It doesn't totally do nothing for you. Well, I'm glad to hear you guys know something. My God. I wasn't that interested in it, I'll tell you the truth. Oh, that's all right. It's total nothing anyway. But total Jesus, total atonement, total. It adds up. He paid the debt in full. We must accept and live or reject and die. That's the message you have to give people. When you give that message out, you get convicted yourself. This is the message we must preach. And no doubts about it. Give out a clear word, Jesus died for you, us all, it says. The other night I was at the hobo bus and I said, have I prayed for you yet? And the guy said, no, put his head down, put his arms around me. And a couple more guys come out and I says, have I prayed for you yet? No, and they put their arms around me. Would you say people are ready? Huh?
There was a man that got on the bus here. It was about a week ago. He had them sort of steely blue eyes, but it was red, white, and blue because they were so bloodshot. See, they were the red and real sharp blue, like in the flag and the white in the back of that. And I started ministering to the guy, and the guy broke down and started crying. And I led him to the Lord. You know what he said? He says, I think tomorrow I'm not going to drink. I'm going to go out and get a job. You know what happened? I seen him about a couple days later. You know what happened? I said, brother, what happened? Did you get a job? He says, no, I went out and got drunk. But at least he knew he went out and got drunk, and it was a confession. He says, well, tomorrow you're going to go out and get a job, brother. Now, I know there's a lot of people who don't agree with that. But you want to know what happened? The man went out and got a job. And just over this way is a man sitting in a car. He's all dressed up. Had his little tie on, his little brogan shoes, you know, the regular scene. A tailored suit and a little tie clasp here, you know, the little pin. And the little haircut, you know what I mean? You know, a little plucked nose hairs. He looked fine, you know what I mean? His ears were all trimmed. Man, he looked great. He just looked like he walked out of a manicure shop. And he got in his little car. And he kept looking at me. And I was praying with this guy. I knew he was watching me. I'm praying with another guy. And he says, what are you doing down here? Well, I says, I'm the minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the message is, you must be born again. And he says, well, I can appreciate that, but a lot of these people down here are alcoholics. I said, brother, what's that got to do with it? We're all drunk one way or another. Drunk with power, or drunk with our little, clippings from our nose hairs, and, we're drunk with ourselves. We're all drunk in one way or another, and I'm not lifting up drink. But I got to ministering to the guy, and he started to confess some things, and he said, you know what? He says, I got a daughter that went to the mental institution. You know how she ended up there? She went to a psychiatrist. And charged her something like, when they got done, there was like a $30,000 bill, and they never did find out what was wrong with her. I said, well, what's wrong with her? She needs Jesus Christ as a personal savior. She hasn't got no foundation. And I said, that person that's ministering to her hasn't got no foundation, and it's worldly counsel. And I says, it's stupid. He says, I know it. I says, I think there's probably some good psychiatrists, but there's sure a lot of dumb ones. I said, brother, you hit it right on the head. And he says, now I got my wife, and we're divorced and everything, you know, and I'm going with this other woman over here, and so on like that. And I said, you know, I could just see his whole life was a total mess. And he says, some days my daughter calls up and said, Dad, I love you so much. I don't know when I just love you so much. I can't count the ways. And the next day she calls up, you know what? I can't stand your guts. He says, you know what? I'm confused. I says, do you think your daughter isn't? Oh, it takes a worried mind. Huh? So I got to minister to this man over there in a totally different situation. He was over here in his little suit. Here was a man over here that was all with holes in his shoes and long nose hairs. Say amen. What's the difference? No difference. They're all sinners saved by grace. My God, they're all over the place. We must tell people to apply this message by receiving the free gift. Apply it to yourself. Apply it to yourself. Don't apply it to someone else. You're dying too. There's a wound in you. Don't take all the Band-Aids and put them on somebody else. Plaster a few on your own bod. Tell them you shall be saved if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A woman came in today. She had cancer. She was fearful. She said, you know what? I've lost both of my breasts And now they're going to chop my leg off. I'm so afraid. I'm 60-some years old. I'm so afraid. Well, we took her off, Janine and myself, and we led them both to the Lord. They're going to come to this picnic we're going to have. A picnic for lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, Christian. It's time that the church stop using excuses. Well, you can't mix with the state, and you can't mix with the government, and you can't mix with the... Who says? The devil says. This year alone, we've been in the school system, ministered right off of the North High School platform. We got in there. Would you say that in itself wasn't a victory? I would. Especially a gospel nut like me. Now we're working in conjunction with the park board. And what's it all about? For the lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the saying, the Bible tells us to go in and plant your feet on terra firma and then start walking. Don't fall back. Don't say, we can't pray in the schools. It's against the law. Who says? It's against the devil's law. Who says? Well, we'll get kicked out of school. God, that never bothered me. I was looking for excuses to get kicked out all the time. You listening on the radio, all you purple-haired kids. Oh, God, I said it, and I'm glad. But next we must tell people to contemplate the message. Now I want you to go home and think about what I've told you. Jesus Christ died for all your sins, bore all your iniquities for all of us. You go on home and think about that. You receive it, you have everlasting life. You reject it, you go to hell. That's it. I'm not arguing with anybody. Not going to get into vain discussions about the cosmos. I could care less. God has spoken. Believe and live. That's it. Well, how do you know that's true? Because I was dead in trespasses and sin. Now I'm alive. How do you know that? You look half dead to me. Well, I'm working on it. At least I'm half alive. Say amen, somebody. But go home and contemplate this message. What then are the claims of Jesus Christ upon you and upon me? What are his claims? Obedience. Obey me. I don't want your ram's fat. I want your obedience. And Psalms 67 and 2 says, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. A woman came over to me. I was standing at the bus. She came from Corcoran. When I was ministering out to all these Catholic churches some years back, and I had met her and led her to the Lord and your whole family. And she says, I used to go to these messages where you were ministering out there at Corcoran with Polly Savitsky. And she says, you know what happened? She says, I'll tell you that last week, my son had an accident, a motorcycle accident, I believe it was. And he died. And 2 hours later, my husband died of a heart attack. Do you see why it's so important to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ? And why did she come all the way down to the north side to give her report? Sent of God to encourage. And so I prayed with her, and I prayed, you know, that God would turn this grieving and this mourning into dancing, and that God would give her the joy, the jumping joy of Jesus in its time. And then when it did come, that she didn't have to cover up and, but that she would open up with the grace of God giving her the full throttle of the joy of the Lord, that she would be used for God. And if it doesn't come through the church, it doesn't come at all. If the blessings fall upon the church, then they have to be allowed to go on down into the valley. God uses his people. Are you willing to be used? We are blessed people for the sake of others as well as ourselves. We've got to get our mind off ourselves. Say, Lord, you have blessed me and I want to bless others. And that's how it goes. It goes from God to you and out to the person, back to God and through you and out to the person, and back to God and through you and out to the person. And you're a blessing, and you're a blessing to the Lord, and you're blessed yourself, and you bless the person. You're God's vessels. Oh, and I thought today, God is so beautiful. He deals with mercy with us. But we must proclaim them. How many have received mercies this week? Mercy me, I have. See, sometimes we're too proud to admit that we needed mercy and how much we did need mercy. And so we don't share that with others. Well, here's a person that isn't born again. Well, here's a person that's in spiritual straits, and we don't share that with them because, oh, God had mercy on me today too, brother. Oh, God, I tell you, thank you, Jesus. And you go ahead and give a testimony about God's saving love and God's mercy, which endures, it says in the Bible, forever. Oh, there's such an ignorance of God. Isn't that the great enemy of mankind and to the testimonies of the saints? It is. Ignorance. Because we don't give our testimony out. Who knows? Experimental, I'm talking about, and grateful, overcome our deadly foe. But God's good news must be broadcast. And I believe there are rules and there are principles by which God blesses, and we got to share this with others. You do this and this and this, and God will bless you. These are the things. You must be born again. You must seek the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. You must obey the Lord, and then God will bless you. And you share this so that people don't have an ignorance of God. And they don't, I'm not getting blessed. I just feel so wrong. You're not getting blessed because you're in sin. You're not getting blessed because you're not obeying the Lord and you're not offering Christ. You're not excited about the gospel. And you got into a whole lot of learning and you're never coming to know Jesus because you're all caught up in your own knowledge and you're all puffed up in it. You're walking around, you need a pin, so you just float out of existence for a while until you get rid of this stench that you've caused by not magnifying Christ. That's ignorance. And so today, three boys came in this building. And they started roving around the building. Roving through the front and roving down through the kitchen and spying out the place and casing it. Well, how do you know they were casing it? Oh, I know. Don't worry about it. And so one was here and one was there, and hey, you got to get out of here. Right? So I go out in the parking lot, and there was some funny goings on, and I yell, hey! Scared myself. One split this way, and one went up over that fence like a monkey, yum yum, right over the top. Yep, 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 up over the top. He got hit the floor on the other side. I think he spanked his feet, and he got made him mad, and he says, shut up! Through the fence. And so I started coming back this way, and I turned around, and I seen him down there, and I thought, no, I did a little bit of yelling. And I seen him walking down the road, sort of a ha-ha-ha walk, ha-ha-ha. ha, all three of the boys going down there, and I started making it down the road. And I caught up with him, and I says, you know what? I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you. You need help. And so one of the boys seen somebody and he wanted to show off to this certain person, so he had this big stick. And, ah! Ah! I said, put your stick down. See, when you commit yourself to something, you have to go all the way. I had committed myself to seeing those boys set aright at all costs. And once you commit yourself to something, you put yourself right in the enemy's territory. Are you ready to commit yourself? I learned something about myself today. The grace of God will cause you to have that fearless activity. And so they were all like this, and they were backing over like this, backing up. All of a sudden, the one that swore at me, crawling over the fence, he says, what's wrong with you? He yells to the other guy that had the stick up in the air. Don't you know that angels have watch over you? There is so much fear in people today. I do not believe it. Say amen, somebody. You know what gives you that zeal for God? The Holy Ghost. You know what gives you that wanting and the desire to do it? The Holy Ghost. And I know that something happened today. I know it. I'm not saying I'm going to do that every time. But I knew it was right today. Because one young man, by the grace of God, was able to say, what's wrong with you? And the other one walked away. Something happened. Something happened. God, it's exciting. Involvement. Involvement. Involve. That means involvement. That means getting into it. That means, I can't say it right. That's something missing. I don't know. Lord, well, see, I can't tell you. You got to get involved to understand. You got to get in it. We're good enough at getting ourselves in bags, aren't we? We say, what's your bag? And it's all twisted up on top. This is my bag. We're inside of a bag. This is my bag. And we live in that bag. What's your bag? And so I'm going to get a whole lot of bags and place them all up here on the stage and twist the tops on them and ask each person, what's your bag? That's what we live in, a bag, a bushel basket, the Bible calls it. Before the paper sacks. I suppose then they'd say, what's your basket? I don't know. Nothing new under the sun. But anyway, by nature, we know little of God on our own. We know nothing of God. We know nothing of Jesus Christ. And I believe the eye of the creature must be open to see the way of life before he can have any faith. He has to be opened up. Before I had any faith, my eye had to be opened. Do you ever get anybody an eye-opening message? Oh, that was an eye-opener. What does that mean? That means it opened up their eyes and now they see. An eye-opener. Then we must get into praying for others that they would know the Lord. Thy saving health among all nations, or thy salvation, it goes on. And this is why we speak, so all will know him. You got to say something. You got to tell somebody. Got to tell somebody. Got to tell somebody. Then it goes on, let all, in verse 3, let all the people praise thee, O God. That means give all of them in grace that they will praise thee, O God. verse 4 now. Oh, let all the nations sing for joy. Oh, nations, are you going to sing for joy when you know the Lord? And you know what, nations? You're never going to be glad until you have our shepherd. Never. Verse 6, then it goes on. Then shall the earth yield her increase. Because sin first laid a curse on the soil, and grace alone can remove that curse. I was thinking about Israel and all that whole area in there that was not fruitful. But now God is in it. And it's blooming, a desert blooming. God is restoring those years. Isn't that beautiful? Because under the tyrannical governments that are coming up right now, there's going to be underproduction. Look at Ethiopia. What the world needs finally now is love. Say amen. Psalm 70 and 4 says like this, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. There is no gladness outside of God. It's in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Wherever we seek after Jesus, we shall have joy. Well, where are we going to find him? Well, you're going to have to seek him. You're going to have to seek him where the naked and the miserable and the poor are. You're going to have to seek him in the nursing homes and all of these places. You're going to have to seek him in the prisons and the widows and the hungry. Because when you meet the needs of others, you meet the needs of love. You meet the needs of God. God has a need to be met. Then the Bible says, you will have joy. Then it goes on, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Those of us that have tasted divine grace and are therefore wedded to it are ahead of those that haven't and shall not only have joy, but listen, but shall tell of it. Oh, it's beautiful to have joy. But if you have joy and you don't tell of it, you don't magnify God. And let such as love thy salvation. Do you love your salvation or is it a crippler to you? See, continually let God be magnified. How are we going to tell about it? The Bible says continually. Such as love thy salvation. Listen. They love it for its own sake. They love it for the sake of him who procured the salvation by his obedience. His obedience, it says, even unto death, even on death unto the cross. If I know one thing in closing here, I know this. All men are lovers, every one of them, as well as seekers. We're all seeking after something, and we're all lovers. For all men do love, you know. Some love money more than they love God's salvation. Some love sin more than they love God's salvation. Some love their businesses more than they love salvation. Some love running around more than they love salvation. Oh, but let us magnify the Lord together. Let us stand up for Jesus and be numbered for his great cause, the salvation of man. I hope tonight that you've learned something from this message that, hey, There is a gospel to be preached that's so powerful, powerful than any two-edged sword, able to separate the soul and the spirit, so you're not into soulishness, but you're into the spirit. Praise the Lord, for the gospel message is so powerful. Oh my God, that people get saved. And are you saying, have I prayed with you yet? No. Have I prayed with you yet? No. Will you pray for my uncle like we prayed for some months back so we can get that good feeling? But if we're not involved, we're not involved in God by giving away the gospel, we're not going to have joy. Joy unspeakable and full of plenty. What does that mean, plenty? It means everything you need. The world has a song, I got plenty of nothing, but nothing's plenty for me, oh, huh? But I got plenty of all things, and all things is all things to me, oh, huh? Oh, hey, Christians, and you listening on the radio or to this tape, the name of the game is involvement. And the name of the game is excitement in Jesus. And the name of the game is winning souls for Christ. And that's what it's all about after all is said and done. It all comes back to the grace of God, all the learning and all the teaching and all the, oh, God, we go through it, don't we? And we forget the joy of the Lord. And it gets left someplace in, I got to learn moratopia. Never coming to know Jesus. You're going to learn something new about Jesus. Oh, I know Jesus, but I must go on. Oh, you can't go on until you know more of Jesus every day. And the more you know of his sufferings, and the more you know of his pain and his sorrow, the more you're going to know him, the more Christ-like you're going to become, and the more he's going to use your vessel. And you'll have peace that passes your understanding and joy unspeakable and full of plenty. Praise God. Is there anybody in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Now we're getting ready for a weekend, aren't we? Are we? Magnify the Lord. Let's remember that now. Come magnify the Lord with me. How do you magnify the Lord? By telling about his great salvation. That's how you magnify him. By telling about all of the mercies that he's shown towards you. About telling about all the many times he delivered you and how that you wandered this way and you went astray that way and he always brought you back in again. And that's what it's all about. Giving your testimonies daily about what Jesus has done for you by the minute. But unless you're in Jesus, you can't tell nothing about what he's done for you. You got to be in on it. It's called the inside track. You know, you run the race and you run it on the other side of the fence. Even horses, they don't win. They just say, well, that was a nice run around that fence in there. I'll wander out in the middle and have some grass. You didn't win nothing. You got to be on the inside track. You got to run the race. Run the race to win. Lord, we just want to thank you for tonight. We want to thank you for these beautiful people that are here. God, I hope this message is emblazed on people's hearts and in their minds that listen to this radio or to this tape. That God, that they would go on out and give Jesus away. There is so much to do. And so little time to do it in. And Jesus says the hour grows short. Thank you for your attendance here tonight. And is there anyone in here tonight that has a two people give a quick testimony. Very quick. Someone that hasn't given one before. And the Lord is dealing with you to give a testimony. Something that happened to you tonight through this message. Something. Anything. Brother?
I think that just meant a lot to me simply because we're going to go out with this bike thing this weekend and just be giving away the Lord and, you know, the love that he's put in us. So it meant a lot to me because of the work going on with the bike thing.
I'm really encouraged by you saying that because that's what it's all going to be. You know what? When Jesus is magnified and exalted, something happens. Always. And if that's our main purpose in anything we do, not just biking, but ministry or giving food to people or in your marriage or whatever, if you're magnifying the Lord, then something's going to happen. Always. If it magnifies Jesus, something will happen in your life. That's another mystery because a lot of times you don't feel like it. People are always talking about the humanist movement, you know. I says, don't talk about them. He says, what do you mean? I says, because every morning when I get up, I'm the biggest humanist you ever seen. I don't want to do nothing. I have to pray to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm human. Ache here, ache there. Old MacDonald had an ache. You know what I mean? Anybody else? Just a little quick testimony for someone. Something. Right here.
Well, like you said, you know, sometimes you get fearful, being a Christian, you get fearful of getting into a total commitment with the Lord and really getting involved. And you think that you're going to miss out on things or things are going to happen that you won't be able to handle. And being a natural sluggard myself, being worried about getting too involved where, you know, you'll lose yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's so stupid because when you do enter into it, the Lord is just so merciful. He takes you into such neat situations that mm-hmm. they fill you so much, like you said, doing the Lord's work, right. that you could care less what you right. missed out on at the time.
Right. And it's really great. You learn that over and over and over again, of course, because, like I say, without Jesus, we're all humanists. Yeah. And we lose sight of that fact, and we fall into the humanistic point of view.
So if you're